Hear now the word of the Lord from Colossians. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, for your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. With the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus just past and the new year soon upon us, I'd like for us to consider what difference Jesus can make in our lives going into 2019. There is value in reflecting on our past lives and considering what the future might hold. I think we've all made New Year's resolutions at some point. Some of us have given up on them, perhaps after years of failing to fulfill our promises that we made to ourselves. Typically, we look rather critically at the last year and vow to change those things where we fall short of our image of what we think God wants us to be. Certainly, there were many sad and stressful moments this past year, things that were out of our control. Others were a result of our own doing, poor judgment, anger, selfishness, being in an unreasonably foul mood. We all have regrets, and if we are honest, we all can see places in our lives that are crying out for improvement. A little guilt is not always a bad thing, but long term, unresolved guilt can lead to depression and even mental illness. If we reflect honestly on our feelings and learn from them, if we make changes, if change is called for, a little guilt can be a healthy thing. We then need to accept the forgiveness that Jesus so often spoke of and to move on. There were also many joys we had in 2018. I hope that we all take some time to contemplate the many blessings of the year that's almost passed, and offer our thanks to God. In the text that Gary read, Paul spoke of himself as a prisoner. Likely he was a prisoner in Rome, not knowing what the immediate future holds for himself. Paul is writing with some urgency to these new Christians. He's giving them some fatherly advice. He is encouraging them to turn from their old ways and instead to emulate our Lord Jesus in thought, word, and in action. We all fall short of that advice. We all could use a lot of improvement. Whether you are one who makes New Year's resolutions or not, there is value in using the new year to spend some time reflecting on our lives. I believe that most of us try to honor verse 12 in our text. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Jesus demonstrates countless times in Scripture what those qualities look like, and it is not always easy. As humans, we at times have strong feelings of anger, resentment, jealousy, self-centeredness, me-first needs. We have failed to be present to our spouse, our son or daughter, parent or friend who was desperately needing our support. Perhaps you have listened carefully and patiently to someone who was sharing some concern, and you tried to think of the right response that would be helpful, but you felt tongue-tied. You so much wanted to be helpful, but you were feeling totally inept, a total failure. Then, just a few moments later, when your awkward attempts at conversation came to an end, your friend said, "Thank you for coming. Thank you for talking with me. I feel so much better. I really needed that." I think many of us have had a similar experience. You know, sometimes hurting people can't hear our words, but they can feel our quiet love and concern. Many times silence is called for, perhaps a hug, or just quietly being present is what is needed. Sitting with someone, handing a tissue, shedding a tear with them. What we may consider to be small things often do count. Have you been a patient in a hospital and a friend dropped in and just sat quietly by your side? You felt that support and peace from their presence. Even though we are in the midst of the winter season, the new year brings thoughts of rebirth, of starting over, of a new life. We all feel strong emotion and awe in the presence of a newborn. We're blessed here to have that experience frequently as our brothers and sisters bring God's gift of new life to worship. We all gather around to get a glimpse of that miracle, of that tiny new baby. At this time of year, Dave and I always reflect on Christmas morning 54 years ago. We felt such excitement as we brought our first son, Mark, home from the hospital. He was just 2 days old. And some of those emotions are still fresh in us when we celebrate his birth these many years later. We sat by the hour gazing at this little miracle as we took turns holding him. It was an exciting time, and words really cannot describe the emotions we felt. We felt joy, tremendous responsibility, plans for the future, unknown plans, and exhaustion. And exhaustion was to become a part of our days and of our nights. We quickly found that our little miracle was not a very content newborn, and we seemed to be up night and day trying to satisfy his unknown needs. Our new neighbor in the adjoining apartment must have noticed, as she was at our door within hours, presenting us a copy of Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care. That was a popular book. Do some of you remember using that? Yeah. After searching frantically for answers in that little book, Dave headed out to find a pacifier. We had no experience with babies, and we were amazed at how effective that little plug was on Mark. He sucked on it as if his life depended upon it. As with all of us who have had children, there are countless joys as well as many anxious moments. We've experienced those feelings in raising Mark, as well as our other two sons who were to follow. Life was forever changed for us. And we are now at the point of enjoying our sons as adults, and we're doing our best as parts of being grandparents. We are all at different points along the God-given life cycle, and change is an inevitable part of that cycle. As we reflect on our lives, we know that our days are not always filled with joy and calm. We also have days of anxiety and grief. It is sort of an ebb and flow. We are blessed here at NHCBC with a strong, loving Christian family to walk with us through our joys and through our sorrows. Having just celebrated the birth of our Lord Jesus, we have reflected on the emotion Mary and Joseph must have felt with the birth of their very first special baby. We as a congregation spent weeks preparing for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, and we look forward with renewed anticipation to his birth. That anticipation was far different than when we think of the births of well-known people throughout history. Usually with well-known people throughout history, we look at the accomplishments of their lives. We rarely know anything about their birth. For one who changed the course of history as Jesus did, his very unique birth is certainly something to be celebrated. We love this Christmas season, but we also know that his birth is just the beginning. The story is not complete without looking at his life here on this earth, looking at what God's coming to earth means to us. In the birth of Jesus, we were given a glimpse of God. We begin to know Almighty God. Not completely. Not perfectly. God is beyond our ability to grasp and comprehend fully. When we look at the birth of a baby, in spite of all the medical knowledge mankind has acquired, new life is still a mystery. In all of nature, we marvel at how a tiny seed can grow and become something so far different from that seed, and how many different kinds of seed there are, all destined to become something unique. And yet there seems to be an organized plan for creation. The more we study and learn about God's creation, the more we realize how much we don't know. Much of it is beyond our ability to comprehend. From the earliest recorded times, people have marveled at creation and have looked to some sort of God for explanation. What sets Christianity apart from all other quests for God, all other ways of describing God or understanding God, is this deep sense that if we look at Jesus, we will know God more fully, more deeply. In his birth, God became man and lived among us. In his life, in the kinds of things he did, in the words he said, we come to know the unseen God in a unique way. When Jesus reaches out to touch a man with leprosy, we see God. When Jesus sits down to talk with the woman of Samaria, we see God. When Jesus cradles the little ones in his arms, we see God. When Jesus blesses the peacemakers, comforts the poor and the persecuted, when he warns against judging one another, teaches us to pray, tells us about the father who ran to welcome his wayward son, who made just about every mistake a person can make, we see God. We see God when Jesus forgives those who were executing him, and at the moment of his death, he placed his trust in God. When Jesus appeared to many people after his resurrection, we see God. Yes, baby Jesus was Christ the King, but he was not the sort of king the people were looking for. He did not come in royalty and pomp, riding on a beautiful horse, ready to take on the military might of that time. He came as a helpless, crying baby to an inexperienced young mother who gave birth in a borrowed shelter. Jesus' life was different from every other king who walked the earth. Instead of this king yielding power and keeping it to himself, his lordship was about serving and saving. Jesus was God who came to us in human form so that we might begin to understand a bit more fully what God has in mind for us. Jesus came to bring light. He was born to serve. He was born to bring peace to those who embrace his birth and message. And he was born to die. One of the mysteries of the Christian faith is that we come to know the unseen God more fully in human flesh. We see God in the man Jesus. As we reflect on the life of Jesus, we know that his presence did not stop at his death. He is with each one of us, bringing us peace, joy, and security. We have the assurance that we are never alone in whatever we experience in this life. Jesus assures us that he will continue to be with us through the Holy Spirit, and that is truly cause for celebration. As we look forward, anticipating the new year, my prayer for us as a family is that we draw closer to our Lord Jesus, that we more and more pattern our lives after his life, that we become less concerned with ourselves, our lives, and that we live more and more in love and service to others. that we will know the peace that he offers us. Peace even through our difficult times, when we are frightened and lonely and insecure. Every now and then I think about what kind of church people need. That does not mean that we do and think and say whatever we think people want to hear. We look to Jesus, he who came to show us the way. He was responsive to the deep, real needs of hurting people. He stopped, he touched, he listened, he helped, and he loved all people. One of the conclusions that I have reached is that people need a church that invites and welcomes all. A church with wide open doors and faith. A church that listens, supports, loves, shares compassion and tears. We tear down barriers that separate us. Christian faith is not so much a set of beliefs and rules as it is a way of life. It is a particular way of life grounded in a particular story. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We cannot live a story that we do not know. And we cannot know a story that we haven't heard. We are here to tell the story and then to encourage one another to let the truth of that story shape who we are, what we think, what we say, how we treat others. Christian faith is about growing in our relationship with God. The kind of relationship that God seeks and that we need is marked by faithfulness and trust, what the Bible often calls love. We invite people into that kind of relationship with God, with each other. One of the ways we issue that invitation is by living out that kind of relationship among ourselves as a family. Learning from one another, supporting one another, welcoming all who enter these doors, recognizing that none of us have all the answers, and we certainly all struggle in our attempts to follow our Lord Jesus. Our faith should express joy. When love is felt, joy and satisfaction is present. A sense of peace. We all have had the experience of getting some really good news. Perhaps the joy of answered prayer. Maybe our health problem has been resolved. Our wayward child has returned. Maybe we got that job that we really needed. The birth of a baby. We have a need within to share that good news with someone, or maybe to share it with everyone with whom we come in contact. The good news of Jesus is meant to be shared. It is too good to be kept to ourselves. Let us pray.